Wake up. Wake up call.
This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
All right. Let's do this.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Thanks for joining us. We head to hour number three. Eric Edholm will join us. We'll talk NFL. Monday Night Football tonight. The Denver Broncos taking on the Chargers. That game at SoFi Stadium. Yeah, the Broncos could go to 2-4 with the loss. And everybody will be then going, oh, Russell Wilson, this isn't working. But if they go 3-3 after a win, right, they're right back into this sort of conversation of these middle-tier teams. The Buffalo Bills coming off their win against Kansas City, last year in the postseason when they had this epic divisional matchup, I remember talking to Sal Capaccio in our preview of WGR in Buffalo on the Bills radio network. And I asked him a very simple question. There's games like this where you put out your heart, everything is you're rolling along and you'll just lose. You're just on the losing end of it. And there's nothing more you can do. But then sometimes there are little tiny things you can even learn from an epic loss where you played pretty well, but you ended up on the losing end. And what was that thing? And that thing that Sal said was defensively, they had to figure out a way to get to Patrick Mahomes and just not to give him enough time. He can scramble, but they got to get to him. And that's one of the reasons they got Von Miller. They learned enough from that playoff game that giving Patrick Mahomes even a wiggle room to escape, to get out, they got to him three times in that game. It's not like they sacked him seven times. Well, they got to him three times. But they did put enough pressure on him that he did make a few mistakes in that game, including throwing two interceptions, the late one with over a minute left when they had the ball and a chance to go down the field to get the touchdown that would have won them the game. More time than they would ever need, Patrick Mahomes made a mistake, and it came because they got better pressure on Patrick Mahomes in this game. It is not lost on a lot of coaches that no matter what happens to you, there always is a way. No matter how much success you have, there is always a way to get better in something. The Cincinnati Bengals learned that in the Super Bowl. They had to get a better offensive line, and they went out and did a whole new change to their offensive line that didn't work at the beginning of the season. But nevertheless, they realized what they needed. And I'm looking at the Buffalo Bills now, and I don't know where this is going to end up, and I don't know how this is going to go. But because they won last year, the same kind of thing, but they still had to go to Arrowhead for the playoffs. But I think that this team really knows it's better than Kansas City, or feels like it's better than Kansas City, and feels like, again, there are pieces that they were missing that they now seem to have. It's an epic team battle right now. With these two quarterbacks, I hope it lasts a long time. It was fun when it was Brady Manning. It's going to be fun with Allen and Mahomes. But that one addition of Von Miller to really help them on the defensive line to get pressure on Patrick Mahomes made a difference yesterday's game.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
By the way, did you notice that Tony Romo in the beginning of the game, early in the game, said, hey, Jim, this is going to be a low scoring between the Bills Chiefs. So it's going to be a low scoring game. And Jim Nance was like, really? And he goes, yeah. He goes, it's going to take a while for both of these offenses to move down the field. They're going to be long, sustained drives. And he was right. This was 24-20. You would think it would be, a 42-40 epic battle of offenses. The defenses really came up on both sides. I mean, Allen didn't throw any picks or anything, but the defenses played pretty well in keeping this in check.
I just need to know where to find Great Sports Almanac, because he apparently
has one. He has one, right? He's no Quasimodo. Quasimodo was the Hunchback of Notre Dame. You mean Nostradamus. Nostradamus, whatever. Yeah, so that's from The Sopranos, by the way, in case anybody doesn't know the reference. I don't think I got it right, but it was close enough. Nevertheless, I'm no Quasimodo. But that was pretty predictable of Tony Romo. Can I just say this one thing real quick about Romo? I think he talks too much. I think he talks too much. That's a hard thing to say for a guy that talks a lot like me. But I think he has kind of, like, a good analyst will analyze and then, sort of let the play-by-play guy do it and then analyze. Romo, it's almost as if his directive was, we want you to teach the game and tell us what we're not seeing. But also, if you could just pretend you're at your buddy's house and just talk the whole way through, like, just not stop talking. Because I just feel like there are times I'm like, you said that three times in one large collection of words. But I still like him. I still like his enthusiasm.
I'll admit something. Yeah. Watching the Cowboys Eagles game yesterday,
right?
And you know, help my wife. You know, our kitchen is right off the family room, so I was able to watch the game and help my wife get dinner prepared. She goes, man, that sounds a lot like Tony.
Oh, talking about Chris Collinsworth?
No, Tony Romo. I mean, it wasn't a Cowboy. Oh, okay. It was Bills Chiefs.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. She was like, that guy sounds a lot like Tony.
Oh, very good. And then because I talk all the time.
No. But just, I guess you kind of sound like him.
Oh, okay.
To her. I've been trying to listen all morning, and I was like, a little bit. I can kind of hear it.
Oh, well, very good. Well, tell her I said thank you.
You know.
I did tell her,
I said, well, that is Tony.
Well, thanks. I like Romo in the broadcast booth. I just think that he needs to slow down a little bit. Just like sometimes he's so overly excited.
Yeah.
That he sort of loses focus. And I think there is a little bit of fandom you want to there's a little bit of energy and excitement that you want to take as a fan watching the game, right? Because he's obviously a fan of football. He's a fan of the league he was a part of.
You can hear it. I think it's the passion.
Right, the passion for what
he's got. I think that's what she was hooking up on, because when he's talking football and he's breaking down the play, he is extremely passionate. He might be a good coach. I don't know.
He might be a good coach. You never know.
But I think it's the passion part that my wife was picking up on, going, God, that sounds like Tony, because you're always passionate when you're talking.
Well, thanks. I try anyway. But speaking of coaches, see, he could be a good coach. See, I'm not going to say he can't, or because I had no idea who Nick Sirianni was.
I still really don't.
And I'm seriously, I'm like, somebody when he was like he was with the Indianapolis, I'm like, okay, great. I know nothing about him, and I know nothing about anything he can do. And now he's got the Eagles at 6-0.
He's got the only undefeated team in the NFL.
Only undefeated team in the NFL. And he's got the quarterback. They don't have to worry about it. I have a question, though. This is going to be a little deep dive. So when you have a quarterback like Skylar Thompson for the Dolphins, right, and he clearly is just not capable of playing at a higher level, but he's a third-string quarterback, whoop-de-doo, right? What exactly was Bailey Zappe sitting on with the Patriots? Because somebody pointed this out yesterday, and I really thought it was poignant. The Chicago Bears have invested a lot of effort and time and different minds to get Justin Fields ready to play at an NFL level. And Bailey Zappe walked into this league. He's started two games. He's won two games. And now he's throwing for over 300 yards and two touchdowns in a game. Like, I know it's skill set, and I know it's talent, but Justin Fields, this was the thing I was saying last week. It's confusing and it's heartbreaking to see a kid with that much talent in college get to this league and be in an organization they can't figure out a way to unlock it better. Right? Justin Fields is a talented quarterback. He was an accurate throwing quarterback. He was Ohio State star and gets into this league and the Bears grab a hold of him and they can't utilize it. Now, Bailey Zappe was a third-string guy. Remember, if Brian Hoyer doesn't get a concussion, maybe Belichick doesn't go to Brian Zappe at all. Maybe just Hoyer's the guy until Mac Jones returns.
Honestly, we may not even know what a Zappe is.
Right, because Hoyer got a head injury, Zappe comes into the game, throws a touchdown against Green Bay, yay, whoa, and then all of a sudden it's like, wait a minute, they're in a shutout against the Lions, they crush the Browns with a good passing and running game, and all of a sudden, two starts, two wins for a third-string quarterback nobody knew going into this season. I know the easy answer is that quarterbacking in the National Football League is so complex, there's not a formula for it, right? There isn't a formula for it. You can be an outstanding quarterback in college. You can get to the league and never make a difference and never make an impact. You can be an undrafted guy in this league and all of a sudden find the thing that works and the thing that you can latch on to, right? That's the thing that always bothered me about Brady. You know what I mean? Like, it always bothered me when people would say, look at all these teams that passed on Tom Brady. The Patriots passed on him in 5 rounds before they landed him, right? Like, don't pretend like he was this mega star that unlocked, that everyone could see. He wasn't. He was a guy that worked his tail off and had this incredible drive to be successful at the level he was at, right? I mean, like the story that Seth Wickersham told us, that Brady bought a house, like he bought a condo, and they said, you don't even make the team yet. He goes, oh, don't worry, I'm making the team. Like, his agent didn't even know if he would make the team. that he might get cut and he'd have to bounce around the league a little bit. And in hindsight, it's always 20/20 when we look at things like, oh, we should have seen it a mile away. Really? Should we have? Really? Because part of his legacy is that he didn't come from nowhere. Because if you play at Michigan, you don't come from nowhere. But at the same time, as far as NFL superstar level, that wasn't on the radar. Now, I don't know if Bailey Zappi's that guy. I'm not trying to make big predictions about his game. Maybe just two good games and then whatever. But isn't it amazing that here's this kid, third round, no one knows, Western Kentucky. Where is that even located for a lot of people around the country? What conference do they even play in? I never even heard of him. And he can play at this level. He's shown in two games that he can play at this level. And the verdict is still out on Justin Fields? Like, the verdict was out on Jalen Hurts this year, the answer was, the question for the Eagles was, is Jalen Hurts a long time answer? Yeah, it really was. I mean, not to put a little dot on the I and cross the T, but yeah, it was. There was a feeling in Philadelphia. We'll have to see. Was that first year? Was that something to build on? Or do we need to make sure he's the right guy for this football team? I still, even after a game yesterday and a 5-1 start, I'm still not 100% sure if the Giants will stick with Daniel Jones. It feels like they would, right? But they're a running team. They run the ball well. Jones still makes mistakes enough to make you go, we might do better. We might do better. And again, this is a better conversation 7-8 weeks down the road if like Bailey Zappi took over the starting job and they're all of a sudden the Patriots won 6 of 7 or something like that. I get it. It's only two games, whoopty. But it's really an amazing science that it has no formula for success. There's nothing you can predict. One of the other reasons I bring this up, Ron, I have no idea if Trevor Lawrence is going to be a good quarterback in this league. I have no idea if he's going to ever be a star quarterback in this league. He might just be mediocre and that's it.
No, I don't think he's going to be a bust.
Have a good game. No. He's going to have a job. But what I mean is he might be good enough. You don't want to get rid of him because he's got talent. He gets the system and he gets the game. But he never, ever is that guy. He's never on that upper echelon. He never becomes the new Aaron Rodgers. He never becomes the Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen. That's a little high bar. But he doesn't become Justin Herbert. He doesn't become a guy that just like is young, early 20s, star in this league. He's mediocre. That was an Indianapolis team. He should have thrown 3 touchdowns against.
Well, I mean, and that's the thing, too, right?
He ran for 2, I think, and he had like a touchdown. I get it, but he's 160 yards passing?
I know. And I mean, you just got done talking about Bailey Zappi, who we don't know at all. And he went out and had himself a game.
Over 300 yards passing and 2 touchdowns.
Yes.
And 2 touchdowns. And then, and it came in a 28 point second half in which they rolled over the Cleveland Browns.
And this is that's like that type of performance is what I'm expecting out of Trevor Lawrence now.
Every now and then, can I get a 4-touchdown game or a 3-touchdown game with 385 on the board?
Right. I know he's thrown for 300 yards at least like once or twice. But
are they a running team because that works, or are they a running team
Well, that doesn't make any sense. Yesterday, they needed some throwing.
Right. Right.
I mean, they were out to a comfortable lead, and I was like, all right, this is going the way it's expected. And then all of a sudden, the Colts fight back, and you're like, wait a second.
Now, listen, a year and 6 games is not enough time to bury the guy. So I'm not trying to bury the guy. But this league doesn't have a lot of patience. It just doesn't have a lot of patience. Now, the thing with Lawrence is that he's different than Daniel Jones, right? Because Daniel Jones, you go, all right, man, maybe this was a mistake. Like maybe the Giants really, really reached. Whole new regime. Trevor Lawrence would have been the number one pick by any team that had the number one pick, right? Any team that was bad enough to get the number one pick would have taken him, right? That's how good he was.
The only teams that probably wouldn't have needed him, maybe the Chiefs, the Bills. I mean,
well,
guys,
I'm talking about any team that.
No, I know, but I'm saying even if they had a number one pick, they would still, probably pass on him.
Right, but that's how big he was. Like Daniel Jones might have been a reach. I get it. Okay, fine. And maybe we can go through the list of other quarterbacks that it might have been. All right, whoa, that's a big. Kenny Pickett's one of them. People were saying you could have gotten Kenny Pickett in round 2. No one was going to take Kenny Pickett. I don't know why you panicked. No one was interested in him. Right? He wasn't a first-round pick, but the Steelers were desperate. And they wanted to make sure the hometown kid plays for the hometown team. All right. But
they want to pass on Dan Marino twice.
Right. But Jacksonville, right? They didn't want to pass on Dan. Yeah, exactly. Don't remind me. Oh, gosh. Nevertheless, in Jacksonville's situation, I don't know where I like there are good games and then there are just mediocre games, but it's starting to be like, good, you know, and listen, I know it's only two games, but Bailey Zappe now, if he gets more of these games until Mac Jones returns, if Bill Belichick goes, look, it's Mac Jones's job, he's getting it. They have a Jimmy Garoppolo, don't they? They have a guy that teams will want, the teams will call on to say, what do you want for this kid? This kid looks like he can play. Like that kind of thing that they had with Jimmy Garoppolo. When Jimmy Garoppolo filled in for Brady, it was like, oh, this kid can play. This play, all right. What do you got? You know, and then he turned it into his big career. Matt Cassel did the same thing. Remember Matt Cassel? It's a little bit different.
Yeah.
But Matt Cassel had he won 10 games. They didn't make the playoffs the year Brady suffered his knee injury, but he turned that into a big contract with Kansas City. Big, huge deal with Kansas City.
I think that's a great correlation right there.
Yeah.
Is that Bailey?
Is that Bailey?
Is that Bailey Zappe?
Is that Bailey Zappe? Where maybe Belichick goes, Mac Jones is my guy. I'm sorry. You know,
yeah, that's sticking it. With him.
But enough NFL executives are like, that Zappe kid can throw. He hits his receivers when they're open. He throws a good ball. He throws it tight. He looks like he reads defenses. It looks like he goes through his progressions. He's got some of the tools we're looking for. Let's make a call to Bell and let's find out what they want for him.
I think the Buccaneers are looking for someone. The Saints are going to be looking for someone. Packers probably looking for someone right now.
Can you imagine if like there was a little, hey, man, Brady's arm. And they go, Bill, what would it take? Bill, I'll give it to him. I'll give it to him. You promise me that kid starts in week 10, he's yours. Just remember us on draft day in, I don't know, 2027. if you could sit that old man down for a couple of games for one of my proteges, yeah, you can have him. Just get me a boat or something when I'm down there. Oh, God. It's crazy. All right, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. Eric Enholm will join us to talk NFL. I do want to get to some baseball. When we come back, it's Wake Up Call.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, we got a Game 5 in Major League Baseball coming up tonight. Yankees and the Cleveland Guardians. God, Ron Darling has said Indians like four times in this series. I don't blame him, though. It's hard.
That's too hard.
It's not easy. People think it is. And like people go, oh, no, stop. They've been the Indians forever and ever and ever. And they've just became the Guardians not that long ago.
This season, right?
Yeah, was it this season or was it last season? I can't even remember. Was it this season? I don't even know. I don't even know these teams change names. Because the Commanders is this season, right? Or were they Commanders last year, too?
No, they were Commanders just this season.
Just this season, okay.
But I swear the Guardians were just this season as well.
Time loses its thing with me. I'm lost in time. I forget now when things were. Somebody says, oh, that happened last year. I'm like, no, that happened 3 years ago. And they go, no, 2021. I go, oh, I guess you were right this whole time. So we got a game 5 tonight at the stadium. It is going to be Jameson Taillon against Aaron Civale. And the winner advances to face the red hot Astros, who are in the ALCS for what, the fifth straight time? Something like that? Fifth, sixth straight time? Astros are fantastic. I think the Astros are going to win the whole thing.
Now, just real quick. Yes. Cleveland Guardians, 2022.
Oh, so this year.
Yeah.
So Cleveland.
Then Cleveland Indians. Ready?
Yeah.
1915 to 2021.
Yeah, so stop
106 years as the Indians.
Broadcaster.
Or, 106 years.
If I see one tweet that goes, please tell Ron Darling it's the Guardians. He knows it's the Guardians. It's a slip of the... I still say Redskins every now and then. It's
of course. Like, you said, actually, you know what? I forgot to point it out to you, but you did call the Redskins when we had on Dave Preston.
Oh, I did. Yeah, I think I knew.
And you did because in the same line of questioning, you switched it back to Commanders.
Because my brain can do that. It can't register time.
But it just but rolls it also off.
Rolls off.
When they're that name, like 105 years. Come on.
Exactly. Like, did you see that? If you see crowd shots, people are still wearing Indians jerseys.
Of course.
Why would they? Why wouldn't they? Going to the game. All right, we're approaching heavy weather season. It did get me thinking. Driving should be an enjoyable experience even when it's raining. But you know what's a worse situation? When you're having a good moment, like listening to your favorite song, or like us, for example, and then everything is ruined because the wipers go, it's embarrassing, but it's also dangerous. That's when you know you need new wipers. Don't let squeaky wipers ruin your great moments. Hear clearly by Michelin wipers. Michelin is always reminding drivers how important it is to regularly check their wipers for safety on the road. They've even made it an official holiday, the International Check Your Wipers Day, coming up on November 16th. So don't forget to check your wipers. It's simple to update your wipers to Michelin. Pick them up today at Walmart. All right, so again, the National League NLCS is set between the Phillies and the Padres. Look, I thought the
National League was done. They're done with baseball.
Done with baseball.
It's over.
It's going to feel that way. Look, here's the thing. There's nothing wrong with the Padres and the Phillies. They're fine teams. But there was something brewing all season long about the Dodgers and whoever was coming out of the East.
Yeah.
I don't mean to sort of make it sound like we've been ruined
Padres. It was either going to be Dodgers Braves again or Dodgers Mets.
They were clearly head and shoulders above everybody.
Yeah, there was no ifs, ands, or buts about it.
But this is what you get when you expand the playoffs, people. You want expansion of the playoffs. Every now and then, you're going to get a team that is going to get in, get an opportunity that maybe they didn't have a year ago, 2 years ago, 5 years ago, 50 years ago, and make the most of it. That's what happens. It just so happens that in the first year of this new expanded wild card fun, best of three, wild card weekend, etc., leading into the NL and ALDS, you get a Phillies and Padres team that take advantage of it and move on to the NLCS. That's it. Yikes.
Oh my God.
I know, isn't it?
It's still hard to like say it's Phillies and Padres in the NLCS.
Exactly.
One of those two teams is headed to the World Series.
If the Guardians win tonight, at least it's a divisional winner going up against a divisional winner. These are two wild card teams that are now enjoying the
who are just hot right now.
They're
playing great baseball.
Exactly.
And that's what I said. I mean, I watched every pitch of that Padres-Dodgers series. And I kept watching this. I'm like, I think, you know, and I know it's a cliche because I know the Dodgers want it, but I just couldn't help myself saying, I think the Dodgers want this more.
I know.
Or the Padres want this more.
It's crazy.
Every pitch meant something to them. Every time they were at bat, every swing of the bat. It's like they're going to get another hit right now.
It really goes to listen, I think one of baseball's biggest problems is the intricacies of the game is so lost on the fan base during an 162 season. But when you see the postseason where going for that extra base on a routine base hit in the gap, getting a steal, moving a runner along on a hit and run, or whatever it may be, the little strategic details that are magnified 1,000 times in the postseason is lost during the regular season. And it is almost like a different game. By the way, I want to give a shout out to my cousin's wife, Joanne, who is a Philadelphia fan from South Jersey, living in San Diego. So God bless her.
Oh,
so,
Joanne, you're happy.
Joanne is, she couldn't have probably asked for a moment where that her team is playing her hometown team in the National League Championship Series.
That's going to be fun for it. You got to get to the game.
I'm actually going to reach out to my cousin Michael and go, you got to get Joanne to a game.
You got to get her to a game. Come on.
Because this may never happen again in her life.
And besides that, you know, I don't think there's going to be a whole lot of Philly fans there. You can get a lot of LA fans because some of them have transplanted to San Diego, but it's right down the road.
Right. Go there.
You know, Philly fan flying all the way across the country. That's an impromptu visit. That's not going to happen.
Exactly. So Yankees and Guardians today, game five. It's the only game five that we've had in the NL and NL, the divisional rounds, I should say.
Yep.
And then we're off to the AL and NLCS. Is Bob Costas doing any of the games, or are they just going to the...
I think he's been doing the Yankees Guardians, hasn't he?
Yeah, he has been doing the Yankees Guardians. He's getting a little social media criticism for being overly poetic and kind of negative.
But you know, one thing I loved about these division series, I was happy to see all the games go at least four games.
Yeah, I know.
Every single series went at least four games.
Yeah, exactly. So, all right, we'll get Eric at home. We'll have him join us coming up next as we continue its Wake Up Call.
is Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue with this Wake Up Call. Hit us up on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. Back to the Progressive guest line. Progressive, making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Visit them for a quote at progressive.com. Eric at Home joins us from Yahoo Sports to talk about the NFL. What's up, my friend?
Not too much, man. Savoring a pretty good Sunday, I'd say.
The difference Von Miller made is for the Buffalo Bills yesterday. How much of an impact did you see that he made?
Yeah, he was hired to be the 13-second eraser, essentially. You know, I mean, obviously he's going to do more than that. We saw his instant impact in week one. You know, he took over that Rams game, and, you know, we've seen it since then in other games, but... You know, really, you could argue that they signed him for moments just like Sunday. And, you know, that's not to take anything away from anybody else on that Buffalo defense, which has played great this year. I mean, it's really been, you know, I mean, one of the maybe the surprisingly good groups, especially with some injuries and stuff. They've held up very nicely. But, yeah, I mean, he's the ultimate difference maker. And there was a stretch in that game when the Buffalo pass rush just wasn't there. And it was almost like you could hear Von saying to himself while watching the game, we're sitting all watching him and saying, he's going to do something at some point. Sure enough, that those last couple series, you know, his pressure led to the interception and really made a massive difference in that game.
I'm willing to admit a faux pas. I'm so used to you with one entity. You're with NFL.com now. Congratulations, by the way, on that.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah,
absolutely.
It's been great so far. It's terrific, yeah.
Absolutely. So you can find him at NFL.com. My fault at the beginning. I'm just so used to you. You come on so much, and I rolled in the wrong direction. So
I didn't even notice you said it. Yeah, you're not the first person, believe it or not. Maybe it's the fact that I'm only about halfway through my second cup of coffee. I didn't even realize that. I'm so numb to it at this point.
Yeah, we're just talking about this with, like, Guardians and Indians and Redskins and Commanders. Sometimes
right.
It just rolls off in one direction. So, again, Congratulations. NFL.com is where you'll find Eric at home as we talk some NFL with him. So the other thing I wanted to get asked you was I was talking about this last week. I said, look, there are two of these big games and it's regular season. There's a lot of football left. And in the end, could the Chiefs-Bills game determine home field advantage? Yes, maybe not, though. You never know. But with the Eagles-Cowboys,
right,
there might be a little more with the winner of that game. And it was the Eagles. And exactly what do you think of where the Eagles are right now after 6 weeks?
Yeah, just to, you know, back up your first point, I mean, Buffalo beat Kansas City in Kansas City last year, right?
Right.
Still had to go back there. So we all, in the back of our minds, we always know that, that first meeting, especially, you know, if you can beat a team that, you know, you feel like is in your way, if you will, or the team that you have to surpass in order to get atop the division. But yeah, I mean, It was a good test for Philly, right? They came out strong, looked absolutely terrific in the first half. Harassed Cooper Rush, and obviously it'll be different at some point once Dak is back in there, but still. And, you know, they let him back in the game. There was a huge momentum turn, and they clamped down at the end. And, you know, it was similar in sort of the way it rolled out to the week before against the Cardinals, a lesser team, you would say, I think. So you do have to kind of prepare yourself for the fact that, hey, you'd love to see the Eagles kind of put the foot on teams' necks a little bit, a little harder, right, and learn that kind of killer instinct. But they found it at the end, and that's what's important. And, you know, the run game's really been efficient. You know, they used their wide receivers very well. I thought it was a really nice offensive game plan overall. You know, after Hurts kind of struggled a little bit in the third quarter, they got him back going again. He made enough plays. And the defense, you know, did what it had to do, especially at the end. First half, great. Third quarter, you could see some improvement there. But this is a big one for the Eagles, because I think people were still kind of saying, you know, yeah, great start, but how legitimate are they? How many are they built to last? And I think we have a better idea that they might be now.
We have a shiny new toy, and people love shiny new toys. Bailey Zappe is one. What do you make of his performance? And again, I know people love the new thing that's winning and looking good winning, but what exactly do we have with Bailey Zappe in New England?
My suspicion, this is not to like throw cold water, I think he's Mac Jones's future backup. I think he's a very good, you know, high-end backup prospect. Now, I mean, does Bill quietly love the fact that his, you know, fourth-round pick is sort of outplaying him, even if the competition wasn't quite the same, but, you know, outplaying what we saw from Mac prior to his injury? I think he loves it. I think because he knows Mac Jones is a super competitor, that he would never have gotten to where he got without having to go through the meat grinder in Alabama, you know, Tuscaloosa, having to, you know, go up against Jalen Hurts his first year and go up against Tua Tagovailoa and, you know, compete with those guys. I don't think that's new to Jones. And obviously he looked like he was maybe 50-50 to play on Sunday. They play the safe route. They go Zappy. And when the Browns took the Patriots run game early, it was clear they hit Zappy had to make throws. This was going to be a, you know, an intermediate pass game kind of a outing for him, and he delivered. So I think it's terrific that he's played as well as he has. I mean, I don't think anyone expected to see him this season, right? Given what Mac had shown last year, it was going to be like a redshirt year. But even though I think Belichick kind of held back yesterday in terms of heaping too much praise on the rookie, because he knows in doing so, he kind of cranks it up a little too much. You know, this is, I think he really wants Mac Jones to be his starter. And I think it's a good thing that Zappy's played well. But at the same time, I think he also wants to sort of come up short of putting so much outward pressure on Jones to be great when he comes back. But yeah, it's certainly been a surprise, no question.
The Giants are now 5-1. Again, 6 weeks in of a 17-game season. But have the Giants sort of crossed the Rubicon now where it's like, all right, you know what? No more of this. We'll see how things are going year one. You're now 5-1. You're one of the better teams in the league. Is that too early, or have they crossed over now?
Yeah, we still there's still some stuff that needs to be figured out, right? I mean, who is their go-to receiver? And, you know, I mean, are they going to have to survive on these kinds of, you know, I mean, the two late turnovers really changed the game. Obviously, they easily could have lost that one on Sunday had the Ravens executed a little bit better, the penalty, then the interception, you know, the bad snap interception, and then the fumble as well. I mean, boy, that was just a kind of a wild turn of events there at the end of the game. So, you know, while giving them all the credit in the world, and I wrote last night, I thought Brian Daboll, what he's done with this team, a quarterback who, you know, had his fifth-year option picked up, you know, an injury-prone running back in his possible final season in New York, an offensive line that's still working its way, you know, the receiver situation. They've made it work, and they've been able to come back in games and, you know, play great situational football in close outings. So all credit to the Giants. I mean, Kayvon Thibodeau came up big at the end. That's the kind of performance he needed. But, you know, we've seen 5-1 teams end up 8-8, right? Yep, look what happened to the Cardinals last year. 7-1, 2, you know. So I love what I'm seeing. I just don't know that I'm ready to anoint them a serious contender at this point.
What is the, outside of Devontae Adams, which seems to be the big answer, what else is going on in Green Bay? They just can't seem to score.
Yeah, the offensive line situation is, you know, locally there's been a lot of chatter about that. They've had some injuries. They've had to move guys around a little bit. I mean, Elgton Jenkins to me is great at guard, not so much a tackle. But they're having to play these guys out of position and without a lot of help. And, you know, obviously the design of the offense you'd think would be catered around Aaron Rodgers' strength. But right now it's just not happening, and they're not getting the, you know, the backs involved the way they probably should. The receivers are still a work in progress very much. Tight end's been a hit or miss so far. Rodgers hasn't been himself in terms of, you know, that pristine execution that we're kind of used to. And obviously the relationship with the young pass catchers has to be explored. But to me, I think it starts up front. And this is going to be a really interesting challenge for Matt LaFleur in terms of figuring out what is our bread and butter? What do we do best? And how do we execute that while knowing teams are going to try to take that away as well? So yeah, they're in a tough spot. I don't know what to make of this NFC North right now. Are the Vikings for real? But certainly they've already beaten them once and have the leg up in the standings.
Do you get the feeling that the Jets have finally figured out a way, a little bit of an identity? Like, they like playing for this coach. They're young. They're putting some pieces together. Do you get the sense that this is what's going on in New York, or is it just, hey, a couple of games went our way and we got a little winning streak going on?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's been fun to watch.
Sure has.
The young players like Sauce Gardner and Breece Hall have been tremendous so far. And yeah, I mean, I think after the opener, people thought, okay, geez, you know, the Ravens are just a different class of football team. And Yeah, I mean, a wild win at Cleveland, but no one really, you know, knew what to make of that one. They lose, I think, was it the Bengals game right after that? But ever since then, they've been pretty lights out. I mean, defensively, too. I mean, that's really been the biggest thing, I think. And, yeah, they're putting up points, and Zach Wilson's back. And, you know, you can win a game when Elijah Moore has zero targets. And, I mean, that's, you know, those are the kinds of situations you want to be in where, you know, you have enough playmakers where one guy who was sort of seen as an emerging player, not getting even thrown to, isn't really a huge storyline this morning because they finished the game so impressively. So, really credit to Robert Salah, done a really nice job there. Like you said, they started to form an identity here with the two backs, the multiple threats at wide receiver, Wilson making plays, still, you know, making us hold our breath every now and then. He still has some sketchy plays here and there. But defensively, as you said, I Sauce Gardner has really stepped in and looked the part of an NFL pro. And there were scouts out there who had, you know, some reservation about whether he could, you know, move with quality receivers, but he has so far.
Is it fair or unfair tonight, this early in the season, to look at Denver's game tonight as this, not a must win, but very close to it if it's not going to be that?
Yeah, boy, I mean, we've seen plenty of Denver in prime time
yeah,
so far.
Yeah, no doubt.
That's all that pretty either, but I mean, look, I think they'll be fine winning games like they did against the 49ers. Yeah, I mean, obviously you'd love the Wilson talk to kind of cool down a little bit and have him get in rhythm and win games. That's why they paid so much to get him, right? Not just money, salary, but also the draft picks as well. But, you know, this is obviously a tough spot. You lose this one, you're 2-4. You've lost, what, at that point, you know, multiple division games. And there's probably a question, again, about your offense and the viability of this group and stuff. So, boy, yeah, I'd say I don't know about must win, but, you know, pretty darn close to that in terms of cooling some of the pressure around, you know, this team right now and a first-year head coach in Nathaniel Hackett, who's frankly had his credentials called out publicly.
Yeah, without doubt. Eric at home at NFL.com. Always good talking to you, my friend. Thank you so much.
All right. Enjoy the rest of the day, man.
You got it. Eric Edholm again. Good stuff. Used to be with Yahoo Sports, now with NFL.com. That's where you can read him. Always liked his stuff. Good to come on, get a little buzz around the league. All right, coming up next, a little bit of news out of the NFL in the city that I live in as we continue on Wake Up Call.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Well, it looks like one of the future Super Bowls is going to land in Nashville. The mayor and the Titans have agreed on a new domed stadium. It still has to pass the city. A city can be tough, but it looks like there's a lot of momentum that a domed stadium for the Titans is going to be in the future. Yay! So excited. Nissan Stadium was a pretty good stadium, but it's not. It's definitely not a. When you go there, and I've been to a lot of NFL stadiums, like especially some of the newer ones, like it doesn't feel like it's up to like an NFL level. It's a very weird like kind of stadium, but there's a new one coming. Boy, these guys, I tell you, it's so fun, isn't it? We go through the same thing with these owners that want stadiums. They want them. They'll say like, with this stadium, we won't need another one for another 50 years. And just wait 20 years before you start looking around going, oh, gee, Ooh. Wouldn't it be great if we got another one of these things?
Did you see that new fancy Fandango thing they have over there? We need that.
Yeah, exactly. Now we need that. Like, what are stadiums going to be? Remember when I told you that story about my buddy who bought TVs at Clemson?
Yeah.
Remember I said they were selling them at a discount because some boosters wanted bigger TVs because they heard South Carolina had bigger TVs in the luxury boxes. So Clemson took all the 50-inch TVs down and he knew a guy and he was like, you can get these for a steal. So he did. He bought them for his little basement studio that he had. And that's typical, isn't it? That's like the NFL. It's like, Jerry, do you think Jerry Jones is going back to the drawing board going, look, one day we're going to be revamping this. Like, we have a big, huge scoreboard in this, but we don't have what the Titans Dome has. They have, like, laser beams and, you know, like, hoverboards and stuff.
I look at the Atlanta Falcons.
Right.
Right. What was their stadium called before this new one? The
Georgia Dome.
The Georgia Dome. But, I mean, it wasn't that old.
No, it wasn't. No, Georgia Dome wasn't that old.
And then you build a brand new swanky one where dome, the roof of the dome opens up with these triangles moving.
Yeah, instead like a Bond movie getting out the missile.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, you know, it's just a matter of time before they go, you know what, we need another one.
Exactly. Like I don't know how much money the Titans are getting out of this deal and what they're putting into this deal. I don't know what it's going to cost. But if you've it's your shot to build what you want, right? It's your shot to put in, like, SoFi Stadiums. I mean, have yet to go there, but it's gorgeous. I know. Well, you were there for the Super Bowl.
Well, but I never made it to the stadium.
You never made it to the stadium? No. You stayed in the... It's gorgeous. It's absolutely gorgeous. I did the virtual reality tour of it. When I was in Atlanta, you could put on the goggles and like walk around in it. But it was all cartoony. You know, it wasn't like it was. You know.
And listen, I mean, it's a dome stadium, but it's done in a way of California way because you know you don't really get cold temperatures there.
The ocean breeze comes in and circulates through the stadium. Like it's the same thing here. They're gonna build this amazing thing that in 20 years they're going to go, oh, who wants to play in this dump? This is terrible.
Then they can do what Houston does with Energy Stadium, is that it's a beautiful day out, keep the roof closed.
Yeah, right. Why not, right?
Why even have a retractable roof?
That's the way it works. In 20 years they go, ugh, I guess this is how peasants play football in this dumpy state. Just give it to a high school team.
What do you mean our roof doesn't hover away?
Yeah, exactly. Come on. I mean, give me a break with these. Oh, my goodness. All right, Wake Up Call continues. Sports Map Radio. Thanks for joining us on a Monday. So much to digest. Tennessee over Alabama, baseball, and, of course, what we saw in the NFL over the weekend.